Poe Dameron and the Unknown Demigod. Written by Flip Flop Diva and read by Corey Cathonia. For Pod Together 2023. Rated for teen and up audiences and no archive warnings apply. For the fandoms of Percy Jackson and the Olympians by Rick Riordan and the Star Wars sequel trilogy, featuring the relationship of Poe and Finn and Rey. Also including the characters of Annabeth Chase and Chiron. With the additional tags of Crossover, Crossovers and Fandom Fusions, Prophecy, Oracles, Action Adventure, Quests, POV Poe Dameron, and Poe is a Son of Athena. It was his fault. Poe knew he had no one else to blame. He had broken one of the most important demigod tenets, the one Percy Jackson had told him repeatedly that he could never break. He had tempted the fates. That was almost too easy. It was a stupid thing to say. He knew it was the second it left his big, cocky mouth. He didn't need Annabeth's horrified look to let him know he should have kept his trap shut. But no. Strolling down Fifth Avenue, holding an ice cream cone that smelled glorious after the victory of monster fighting, all common sense left his body and the words spilled out. He wanted to take them back, but it was too late. They were out there. And what came next was all his fault. He knew it then, and he knew it now. There was no one else to blame. It wasn't so bad at first. Or rather, it wasn't bad at all at first. Nothing jumped out at them from behind a bush or parked taxi to make him regret his word choice. No dark cloud suddenly loomed over Manhattan. No bolts of lightning from Zeus struck them down. Just a normal walk through the crowded sidewalks of New York City on a hot, muggy day in early summer, pushing past people who were muttering curses that weren't appropriate for anyone's ears as they went about their business. By the time they reached the small cafe, Poe had almost forgotten he'd even said the words in the first place. Almost. He let Annabeth do the ordering at the bakery counter and went to find them a table, looking carefully around, but all he could see were mortals enjoying their lunches. Or screaming into cell phones and not enjoying their lunches. Poe felt himself relax, a small whoosh of breath leaving his body, replaced by a similarly small sense of relief. Annabeth made it to their table without incident. "Thank you for today," Poe told her, taking a bite of the ridiculously large sandwich she had gotten them, made of some artisanal bread he didn't know the name of, and stuffed with all sorts of meats and cheese and veggies and dripping with sauce. He wiped some of the sauce from his face before it could splatter all over his clothes, which were still slightly stained with monster dust, but that was pretty normal for him. Annabeth shrugged, delicately eating her own sandwich. "Chiron asked us to do it," she said. "Now," Poe said, "Chiron asked me to do it. You volunteered to come with." The corners of Annabeth's mouth turned up. Her gray eyes, eyes that looked almost exactly like his own, sparkled. "That's what sisters are for," she said. He would have replied with a perfectly quippy line of his own, were it not for the screeching of a chair beside them and then someone appearing next to their table. "Hey," said an out-of-breath voice that sounded like its owner had been running a marathon. Poe glanced up to see a dark-haired boy about his age standing beside them, looking vaguely familiar. Then his eyes drifted down to the faded letters on the boy's shirt. Right. He did know this pun. He was from the rival high school, the one where its students tried their best to see who could be the biggest bully. He recognized them from their last martial arts tournament. "Do you want something?" he asked the boy, whose name he didn't know, although he knew his number on the tournament scoreboard started with FN. All the boys at that awful school started with that code. I just thought..." The boy seemed to be tripping over his own tongue. "Okay," Poe said, rolling his eyes and lifting his hand to indicate he was over this conversation. But Annabeth, forever the graceful one, smiled over at the intruder. "Do you know each other?" she asked conversationally. Instantly, the boy seemed to relax. "Yeah," he said, "we go to martial arts tournaments together." "Not together," Poe interrupted. The boy coughed. "We compete against each other," he said, clamping his mouth shut for a moment, and then opening it again like he was going to say more. But instead of words, a horrible belch sounded, accompanied by pale green smoke. Poe recoiled in horror. "Come on, man!" But the boy was standing, almost as if frozen, the green smoke from the belch still hovering around him like his own personal cloud. When he talked, his voice sounded different, almost like he had been replaced by a robot in the few seconds he had been standing there.
"Two will mount where no roads go, to find the one who stuns thy foe. A ray of light, despite the dark. See the truth, don't miss the mark."
He stopped as abruptly as he started. "What in Hades?" Poe started, but then he caught Annabeth's face. She was staring at Finn with a half-horrified, half-fascinated expression on her face. The boy noticed her look, too. He blinked, like he wasn't quite sure where he was, and then rubbed at his face.
"What did I just say?" he said.
"A prophecy," Annabeth said.
"That was a prophecy."
She turned to Poe.
"Your prophecy."
Poe was already shaking his head.
"No, gods, no."
"I told you not to tempt the fates," she said, and Poe almost thought she sounded a little smug.
"What is happening?" the boy said.
Poe had almost forgotten he was standing there. But he didn't have time to answer, because of course that was the moment the Impuzai appeared. Or, at least, appeared in their line of sight, as two monsters were being escorted to a table by an unsuspecting waiter a couple rows to their right. One of them turned to look toward Poe and Annabeth, opening her mouth in what probably appeared to be a sweet smile to the mortals in the restaurant, but was a hiss for them.
"Does that girl have fangs?" the boy said.
Poe and Annabeth turned to him, Poe not quite believing what he had heard. From the expression on Annabeth's face, she felt the same.
"You can see them?" Annabeth asked.
The boy frowned at her.
"The monsters?" he said.
"Of course."
"But aren't you mortal?" Poe blurted.
The boy just frowned more. "Mortal as compared to what?" The Impuzai had made it to the table. One of them was staring at the three of them, hunger, or maybe bloodlust, in her eyes. Annabeth jumped to her feet, grabbing the boy's hand.
"Do you have plans for the afternoon?" she asked. "Or maybe the week?"
"No," the boy stuttered.
"Then you're coming with us," she gestured to Poe. "Let's get out of here, now, before we have to make a mess of this restaurant."
They made it back to Camp Half-Blood without being followed or killed by the Impuzai or any of the Impuzai's friends. That in itself was a blessing Poe hadn't seen coming, but he also knew it was probably because the Fates had more dire offers awaiting him. He had purposely avoided thinking about the prophecy that had spilled from the mouth of the boy, whose name he now knew was actually Finn.
Two will mount. Poe wanted to hope that the two meant him and Annabeth, or maybe him and one of his other brothers or sisters. Or, Hades, maybe him and just about anyone else at Camp Half-Blood. But he knew the truth, even if he didn't want to admit it.
"This place is amazing," Finn said as the three of them climbed to the top of Half-Blood Hill, where R2-D2 beeped and booped at them from his position beneath the Golden Fleece.
"Don't get too close," Poe told him. "He looks harmless, but you wouldn't believe the weapons that come out of his insides," R2-D2 said, probably confirming what Poe had told Finn. They all moved closer to the edge of the hill. Below them stretched the rest of camp, the mess hall, the cabins, and the big house, where they were heading now.
"You live here?" Finn asked, the amazement obvious in his voice.
"Yeah," Poe said.
"This is so much better than boarding school," Finn said, then made a face like he had just tasted sour nectar.
"I hate that place."
"Come on," Annabeth said, interrupting the two of them. "Chiron is waiting for us."
How the centaur was already waiting for them, Poe did not know, but he never really understood how Chiron knew everything he did. But Chiron indeed met the three of them by the door, rubbing his red beard and looking them each in the eye in turn.
"Hello there," he said to Finn.
"You must be the one with the prophecy."
Yeah, Finn said.
Poe hid a smile. Chiron was always a sight, even for people who regularly saw monsters. But with his long beard, the oversized cloak he wore that mostly hid his forelegs, and his oversized laser gun on his belt, he always drew attention, even though he said he tried to blend in. Chiron led the three of them inside the house and down a hallway to a small room with an old comfortable couch in the center. On a coffee table beside the couch stood a pitcher of lemonade and a plate of cookies.
"Sit," Chiron gestured to the couch. "I want to hear all about this prophecy."
Poe, Annabeth, and Finn did as he asked, Poe ending up between the other two. He leaned forward to grab a cookie, only to belatedly realize everyone else was looking at him. He looked around.
"What?"
"This prophecy," Chiron said. He gestured, indicating he wanted to hear it.
"Go on."
Poe rather wished someone else could do this part, but all eyes were still on him. He stared sadly down at his cookie for a moment, before uttering the words that had come out of Finn's green, smoking mouth. Chiron steepled his fingers as he listened, a thoughtful expression on his face. When Poe finished, Chiron sat back for a moment and closed his eyes briefly. When he opened them again, he placed his palms on the tops of his front legs and gazed between Poe and Finn.
"I believe this quest belongs to the two of you," he said.
Poe had been afraid of that.
"How do you know?" Finn asked.
"It's simple, really," Chiron said. "It was given to Poe here, and that last line talks about seeing. That, my boy, can only be you, a rare mortal who sees through the mist." Finn frowned. "You're talking about the monsters again, aren't you?" he said. "It's why the other guys at school think I'm crazy." Chiron nodded.
"You have a very special gift."
"It hasn't felt so special," Finn grumbled, and Chiron chuckled.
"It never does, my boy."
"So, this quest," Poe said, hoping to draw everyone's attention back to the pressing matter of the moment. "Where do we even start?"
"That seems obvious," Annabeth broke in.
"It does," Poe said.
Your chariot, she said, like she couldn't believe he hadn't seen it. And, of course, the second she said it, he also couldn't believe he hadn't seen it. Two will mount, where no roads go. You drive a chariot? Finn said to Poe. Of course he does, Annabeth said. He's the best. She grinned at him. So then, what do we do after we drive this chariot? Finn said. Annabeth shrugged. Find a ray of light, she said. How hard can it be? It turned out, finding a ray of light was quite difficult when you didn't know what you were looking for, and even harder once you did. By the time the sun rose in the sky the following morning, Finn and Poe were ready to go. The Camp Half-Blood flying horses were tied to their chariot, their white manes glistening and blowing in the breeze like they were about to enter a horse beauty pageant. In the chariot itself, a box full of granola bars and bananas was tucked under the seat. They also had a bunch of swords, a bow and arrow, even though neither Finn nor Poe were any good at shooting, and a couple of the newest inventions courtesy of the Hephaestus cabin. Lightsabers, they called them, and they were apparently powerful enough to slice through any monster that had the bad luck to touch them. Just don't, lose any body parts, one of the Hephaestus boys had told them as he handed them over. It hadn't made Poe feel any better about any of this. Annabeth, Chiron, and a few of Poe's other brothers and sisters from the Athena cabin saw them off, everyone clapping and cheering as Poe and Finn climbed into the chariot. Poe took the reins, took a deep breath, and then patted the horse closest to him on the back. You know where to go, he said, where we have our competitions. It was the only place Poe could think of where there were no roads, just rolling hills and farmland as far as the eye could see. But he had a feeling he was on the right track. The horses leaped into the air, pulling the chariot with them. On the ground, the demigods hooted and hollered. Finn stuck his head over the side, watching until Camp Half-Blood disappeared below them as the horses headed out over Long Island Sound. This is unbelievable, Finn said when it was just the two of them. Yesterday, I decided to take a walk to get a damn sandwich, and now I'm flying off on some crazy quest because a prophecy came out of my body. Yeah, Poe said. It's definitely unbelievable. If he were honest with himself, he would have to grudgingly admit that Finn was a lot nicer than Poe had given him credit for, and he also seemed completely laid back and understanding about this world that most mortals would never even know about. But it didn't mean Poe had to become best friends with the guy. He just had to finish this quest with him, find the ray of light, or whatever that meant, and make it back to Camp Half-Blood. And then, maybe at their next martial arts tournament, they could give each other a nod as they passed in the aisles. Or something like that. The trip on the chariot to the competition site normally took about an hour. As they flew, they watched the sun travel higher in the sky, daylight spreading across the valley and the ocean. They stayed over the ocean for most of their travels. To any mortals looking up from below, they would probably appear as nothing more than a large bird, but there were less monsters over the ocean than the land, and Poe didn't want to attract any unwanted attention. He had a feeling they were going to have enough to deal with when they landed. The competition site looked deserted when they finally arrived, but Poe didn't trust it. Even as he guided the horses downward, he felt the tingle in his neck that usually alerted him to something not being right. Make sure you get your weapons ready, Poe told Finn as they approached land. He worried Finn might ask questions, but instead the boy merely did as instructed, placing a sword and a lightsaber within easy reach of Poe. The horses touched ground in the middle of a bare field. Off to the right was a small creek with enough running water to keep them satisfied. Looking around carefully, Poe slipped the weapons through his belt and set about untying the horses. "Be safe," he told them one by one as he petted their snouts and sent them off to the water. "Where to?" Finn asked, but Poe didn't need to answer. Just then, an angry bellowing could be heard coming from their left, and then the sound of something being thrown, perhaps rocks. Finn and Poe looked at each other, and then by an unspoken agreement, headed towards the sounds. Poe made sure his hand was close to his weapons in case he needed them. For a piece of land that was relatively flat and unencumbered by buildings or other structures, it took Poe and Finn what felt like a long time to actually come upon the source of the noise. Two black rams with shiny coats that looked like they were on a murderous rampage. They snorted and screeched, stomping their hooves on the hard ground. But they weren't looking over at Finn and Poe. Poe scanned the area, trying to see what the rams were looking at, and then he saw it, or rather, saw her. A small girl, hiding low in the grass not far from the rams. Poe touched Finn on the shoulder and motioned towards the girl. Finn nodded, pulling out his lightsaber. If they could sneak around the rams toward where the girl was hiding, they might be able to get rid of the beasts before they attacked her. They started to make their way slowly around to the girl. The rams were too distracted watching her to notice them, but the girl wasn't too distracted watching the rams to notice them. She looked up and froze, her eyes on theirs. Poe tried to mouth, "It's okay, we're friendly." But the girl either didn't read lips or she didn't care. Suddenly, she was on her feet, whirling around and racing across the dirt. Poe swore, which wasn't smart because one of the rams turned to him, but on the bright side, it wasn't following the girl anymore. One of the rams moved towards them.
"Oh no," Finn moaned.
He lifted the lightsaber, so far just a small handle, much like the end of an umbrella. Poe lifted his as well.
"I hope this works," he muttered.
The rams leapt toward them. Both Poe and Finn punched the buttons on their lightsabers. Green bolts of light shot out from the other ends. Poe almost dropped his, the device vibrating in his hand. He stared at it, wondering what exactly this was. But he almost stared at it too long. He was a second away from having his head taken off by a ram when Finn swung his lightsaber. It zipped through the air and then zipped through the ram. The beast fell at Poe's feet, exploding into piles of black monster dust.
"Oh," Finn said, wrinkling his nose. "Gross."
"Come on," Poe said. "Let's find that girl." They took off again, racing across the land. It seemed impossible for the girl to have gotten as far as she had in such little time, but she was nowhere to be found. Poe finally had to stop, leaning over to catch his breath.
"Maybe she's not who we need to find," he wheezed, wondering if they should start back to their chariot.
"I wouldn't be so sure about that," Finn said.
"Huh?"
Poe looked up, and his heart skipped a beat. Not more than 200 feet to their left, a new herd of black rams was gathering. And there, in the middle of them, was that same girl. But this time, she was standing upright, her fists up, like she was going to punch them all.
"Oh, no," Poe said.
He and Finn made it over to the rams and the girl, just as one of the monsters decided to leap. It was fast, but Finn was faster. He cut it down with his lightsaber before it could reach the girl, exploding into monster dust at her feet. She stared at them, her eyes as wide as they were during their first encounter. Now that they were closer, Poe could see she was older than he had originally thought, probably around their age. Her hair was pulled back into a tight bun, and she wore an outfit he had never seen on mortals or on demigods. It almost looked like a smock she had draped over a pair of pants and a tank top.
"Who are you?" she said. But before they could answer, the other rams must have decided it was time to take a go. Four of them began moving at once, and the girl shifted her position, raising her fists just that much higher. Poe pulled his lightsaber out and stepped towards the rams. One raced toward him. He lifted his lightsaber, hoping for the best, and swung. The monster exploded in midair, raining monster dust down on him. But another ram was coming. Poe swung at that one too, as Finn took on the others, both of them whirling and ducking and twirling around each other until all that was left were small piles of ash, and the girl, still with her arms raised. "Who are you?" she said again.
"I think we might be looking for you," Poe said.
The girl's fists clenched.
"That doesn't answer my question," she said.
"I'm Poe," he said. He gestured. "This is Finn. We're demigods. Or at least I am. I'm not sure what he is."
"Hey," Finn protested.
"I don't know what that means," the girl said.
It means one of my parents is a god," Poe said. "Like yours."
The girl shook her head. "I don't have parents," she said.
"Everyone has parents."
Poe took a step toward her. She took a step back.
"Don't come closer."
"Please," Poe said. "I'm pretty sure we've been looking for you. Let's just talk."
"I'm not interested."
"We can keep you safe."
"With those killing things you have?"
She pointed to the lightsabers.
"We don't use them on people," Poe said.
"I can handle myself," the girl said.
"Look," Poe said. "We know a place."
"No."
"No?"
Poe frowned at her. The girl still hadn't lowered her fists.
"No," she said. "And don't come after me again, or I'll hurt you."
And then, for the second time since they had met her, she turned around and disappeared, leaving Poe and Finn literally in her dust. Poe had never known anyone to fail their quests before. He was sure it must have happened. After all, he had only been at Camp Half-Blood for 6 months, and there were a lot of things he hadn't seen in that time. But he really didn't want to return to camp and face the others and tell them everything had been a bust. But he also didn't know what else to do. They had searched for the girl until the sun was high in the sky, and she was nowhere to be found.
"Maybe we go back and try again tomorrow?" Poe said dejectedly.
"Yeah," Finn said.
"It's not like we even really know if that was the girl we were looking for. The prophecy didn't give many details."
"You don't happen to have another prophecy in you, do you?" Poe asked.
"One that has more specific instructions?"
"I don't think it works that way," Finn said.
Poe sighed. "You get one prophecy and suddenly think you're the expert."
Finn was about to say more, or at least he looked like he was about to say more, but instead of words, he froze, his mouth half open, the color draining from his features. Poe whirled around and felt the color drain from all his features, too. Somehow, the rams were back. Or at least their friends were. About 15 or 20 from the looks of them. Poe glanced at Finn. 2 against 20. He didn't like those odds, even with their glowing sabers of laser energy. But they also didn't have a choice. The chariot and the horses were still too far away,
And even if they were closer, Poe could never risk the lives of innocent animals. They were going to have to fight, and hope they made it out the other side. He could feel his heart pounding in his chest, which was weird because he could also feel it beating in his ears. Sweat beaded on his forehead. He gripped his lightsaber with both hands, praying it wouldn't fall from the grasp of his sweaty palms. The rams shifted, began to move. He raised his lightsaber higher. But before he could swing it, something even more surprising happened. An ear-splitting shout filled the air, and the black rams, all the black rams, were hurled backward, crashing on top of each other like a multi-pile ram accident. The monsters bleated, scrambling to get up, but before they could, someone walked past Poe and Finn toward them, hands outstretched, an invisible force seeming to emanate from her hands to the rams, keeping them frozen in place. It was the same girl as before. Poe and Finn stared as the girl shoved her hands out even further. The rams bleated more, but it was too late. Another shove from her hands, and all that was left were piles of black monster dust. The girl turned to Poe and Finn, but Poe couldn't even manage to close his mouth. "You came back," he finally managed. Of all the things to say, not "Who the Hades are you?" or "How did you do that?" but "You came back." She shrugged. "You saved me before. I returned the favor." Finn was still staring at where the monsters used to be. "I feel like maybe we didn't really save you after all." The girl shrugged again. "Technicalities." She jammed her hands in her pockets, maybe so she wouldn't accidentally blast either Poe or Finn to pieces. "I'm Rey." Neither of the boys moved for a moment as the puzzle pieces clicked into place. "A ray of light," Poe said. "You are the one we've been looking for." She didn't look as happy. "Why were you looking for me?" "We had a prophecy," Finn said. "A prophecy?" "It's a whole thing," Finn said. "We needed to find a ray of light." "And you think that's me?" "You said your name is Rey." She frowned. "I don't understand." Finn and Poe glanced at each other. Poe wondered if Finn felt as uneasy as he did. Everything around them seemed calm, and there were no more rams as far as Poe could tell, but that didn't necessarily mean they were gone. "You want to walk with us?" he asked Rey. He gestured in the general area of their chariot. "It might not be safe out here." "No," Rey said. "We can finish talking here." "Are you always so stubborn?" Finn said. Rey's eyes narrowed. "Are you always in the habit of getting strangers to go with you?" Finn seemed to think on it. "I did just go with this guy," he shoved a thumb in Poe's direction, "and another girl, Annabeth, yesterday, and they were pretty much strangers to me." Rey didn't seem impressed. "Look," Poe said, figuring maybe a change of tactic was in order. "I know this is weird and doesn't make sense, but I think we have been looking for you. You're like us. You see things and can do things that other people can't." "What do you mean?" Rey said. "Come on," Finn said. "You must have noticed that other people don't see monsters or have powers." "I don't spend much time with people," Rey said. "But you have met them," Finn said. Rey didn't answer. Poe tried again. "Look," he said. "I know you don't know us, but there's this place we're from. It's safe from monsters. and it has beds and food and weapons. Why don't you come with us and give it a try? If you don't like it, you're free to come back here and be hunted by monstrous rams. Ray seemed to consider that. Besides, Poe added, you could probably turn us to dust if we try anything.
Yeah, Ray said. I probably could.
She paused, still apparently thinking it over.
Okay, she finally said, her thought process seemingly complete. Let's go.
Poe thought that would be the end of it. They had their ray of light. They were going to make it back to the chariot, fly back to Camp Half-Blood, and live happily ever after. Oh, how wrong he was. For starters, they hadn't even made it back to the chariot yet when they saw the man standing by the horses. He wasn't touching them and didn't seem to be hurting them, but the horses seemed wary of him nonetheless. Hey, Poe called out as they approached the man. The guy looked like he and Chiron shopped at the same store. A black cloak surrounded his whole body, which was clad completely in matching black clothes, including what looked like thigh-high boots. His face, though, could have passed for a surfer. Blonde hair, bright blue eyes, and a smile like he had just happened to come across them in this bare wasteland that featured no other humans. The man headed toward them, stopping just a few feet away. I thought I might find you here, the man said. He spoke as if to all of them, but his eyes were focused on Ray. Who are you? Poe said, wondering if he needed to draw his lightsaber.
You can call me Luke, the man said, still looking at Ray. I do like that name.
What do you want? Poe said.
To see this one.
He gestured at Ray.
To see if she's ready. I think she might be.
Ready for what? Poe said warily. Ray looked like she was deciding whether she needed to stay still or punch the man. Poe saw her fists tremble just a little.
Oh, Luke said. I can't tell you that. Against the rules and all. But you'll find out soon enough.
Something about his words struck a nerve in Poe. Or maybe he was just on edge after all the black ram fighting, but he felt a tingle of recognition start to form in his mind. What are you talking about? Finn asked the man. Ray still hadn't said anything.
It was nice meeting you, Luke said, still looking at Ray. I think you'll do me proud.
And then, in a burst of overdramatics, the man spun around, raised his cloak over his head, and vanished. For a moment, nothing happened. But then the dirt in front of Ray began to shift. She jumped back in alarm, but it appeared to be making a pattern. And then it began to glow, a very bright blue. Poe blinked down at the glowing blue bident, and then up at the place where the man had been. Oh, wow, he said, the pieces once more clicking into place. I think Hades is your dad.
What? Ray said.
That was Hades? Finn said.
Yeah, Poe said. I think it was.
They made it back to Camp Half-Blood in one piece. No more rams. No more other monsters. Not even anyone else's long-lost parent. A small congregation was waiting for them, almost like they'd had advance notice. Annabeth, Nico D'Angelo, and Poe's favorite, Rachel Elizabeth Dare. A child of Athena, a child of Hades, and a mortal who became an oracle. Poe looked at his two companions, suddenly seeing how the three of them might just fit together. As if to illustrate this point, Finn chose then to belch. Or the fates chose then for Finn to belch. Poe wrinkled his nose, and then his heart plummeted. Green smoke poured out of Finn's mouth.
Three will journey, o'er far and near, to find the source of all the fear, to return the riches and seek the claim, before the world ends in a vat of flame.
The green smoke cleared. Finn blinked, his words hanging in the air.
What in Hades? Ray said, as Finn asked, what just happened?
Poe shook his head.
A prophecy, he said.
Another prophecy.
He sighed and got out of the chariot, helping Ray and Finn out as well.
Don't get too comfortable, you two, he said to them once everyone was on solid ground, because we're about to head out again.
The end. Thank you.